Casey's Royal Ramble. I'm Glenn.
I'm Casey.
And, oh, don't sound too excited, Casey. It's your pick.
I know. I'm pretty excited, actually. let's take a trip back. Let's go back 16 years in time to 2002.
Right.
And let's talk about SummerSlam in that favourite place of ours, Funky Nassau.
Oh, at the Coliseum.
On August the 25th.
Funky
so almost now. 16 years ago.
Yes.
Or just over 16 years ago. Right. Depending on when you listen to this podcast.
Yes. The sponsors were Foot Locker.
I should note that down.
And where is it? The Memorial Coliseum.
Nassau Coliseum, yeah. Uh-huh. It's about 15,000 people there. 14,797 to be exact.
Yes, I have that too. Now, one thing I want to say straight off the bat.
Do it.
This is, in theory, as far as a lot of people on the internet are concerned, the greatest SummerSlam of all time.
I definitely don't think that.
No! Oh, good, good.
But having said that...
Neither do I.
I do think looking at the roster at this time, there's an argument to be made that this is the best roster that WWE has ever had.
It's stacked.
It is, because it's after that WCW have come across, and you've got the best of both worlds here. And there's some really interesting matchups here, actually, between some, you know, like the WrestleMania around this time, where you've got, some WCW legends facing off against WWE legends.
That's right.
And, yeah, a really cool...
WrestleMania 18.
Yes, that's the one.
Right, that's right.
So it's sort of that era. But, having said that, definitely not the best SummerSlam.
Aha! Now, before we start, did you know... this is your pick. But did you know there was a dark match?
No. I didn't know that, yeah.
There was a dark match. It was Spike Dudley versus Steven Richards. Nothing to get too excited about. I just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah.
Spike Dudley won.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes.
What a shame there wasn't pre-shows back in this time.
Why? But, yeah. This is a two-minute pre-show. And off we go. The other thing, actually, as this started up, where I just thought, is because, you know, I've been watching a little bit of the 90s lately, like, you know, especially 94, 95, 96. Yeah. It's the dream of the challenger to become champion. Yeah. All that type of stuff. In this one. And now, SummerSlam. That's it. I'm like, well, all right. Someone was strapped for time. But anyway, here we go. Match number one, Case.
Yeah, Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio. And this is what I'm talking about. It's an interesting matchup.
It is interesting. I wasn't very excited when it started. I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this. The dog's on your lap. Off you go. But as the match continued along, well, I was like, this is really cool.
I was excited at the start because Angle comes out to a chorus of You Suck chants.
Well, he always
and
has.
When Rey Mysterio's music hits and he's like staring at the ramp waiting for Rey to come out, boom, Rey's there behind him. And he jumps, he does like a springboard hurricane runner off the ropes, and that's how the match starts. It's like, oh, all right, cool, we're starting.
Yeah. Like What's he doing that for? Why is he cheating straight off the bat?
He's not cheating. He's just getting the element of surprise.
Yeah, I don't know. If that was a villain, you'd be like, boo! And commentators would be all over him. But these guys fly around for each other. And Rey really does hold his own.
Yeah. There's some really cool counters and stuff. Like, there's one bit where Angle's going to get him into a angle slam.
Yes.
And Rey sort of rolls out and turns into an arm drag and flips him over. It's pretty cool.
Actually, the one thing that I do remember, and I've only just watched this very recently again for the second time, but I love the ref jump.
Yeah. Because, like, the ref blocks Rey from doing, like, the suicide dive.
Yeah,
like,
you can't do it. You can't do it because he's doing that again.
Nope.
And Kurt Angle's out on the floor. So Rey goes, oh, bugger this. I'll just jump over the ref. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like the ending too, or close to the ending, where Ray's up on the top, goes to jump, but Angle somehow tries to counter it. It didn't quite work, did it?
Yeah.
You know, he tries to counter him into the ankle lock.
Yeah.
But you know what? That just all made it look more real.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I got it. No, I haven't. Yes, I have.
It's one of the problems with today's wrestling is that it's so choreographed that it looks like you're playing a video game where every time you see someone do a move, it's identical. So, yeah, these little foibles can be quite enjoyable.
They can be. It's quite enjoyable when you say foible.
Foible. Good word.
You sound like Peter Stormare. Foible. And that's our opening match. It certainly woke me up.
Yeah.
And yeah, I realised...
10 minutes is not too long, just an overstay is welcome.
That's right. I realised then and there, I am in the mood for SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, put on your board shorts?
Hey, no. We're still not quite there. We're not quite summertime here in chilly old Melbourne.
But then we cut backstage, and we've got... This is the era when Bischoff is running Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Stephanie McMahon is running SmackDown.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they're having a bit of an argument, and they sort of...
And this is like, this is... Glenn's got a crush on Steffi, or...
Yeah.
Like, where I'm like, oh, Steffi, you know, where she's like trying to act like a bit of a cow, but yeah. Like, you're like, yeah, no, it's okay.
Yeah, we love they're having a bit of a back and forth backstage, and they decide to just sit there and watch SummerSlam on the TV. They're in the freaking arena, like, just go ringside. You
That's
own
what
the
you do,
company.
Though. Haven't you ever been to the football? You don't like the football, but...
Oh, yeah, sit in the corner.
You know, in the... No, you get the footy, it's freezing cold, and you go, I can sit with the plebs, or I can go in there where the bar is and sit right by the telly with some other old weird guy.
Listen, this is a big TV. They're not even watching that on that bigger TV. Yeah. It's a little office TV.
Hey, if the ticket's free, it's like having a bar in your lounge room.
Free, they own the freaking company.
I guess. But anyway, well, and yeah, that's right. They're pretty much having a, well, let's just see whose brand's better.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's always good to see Bischoff. I love when you see Bischoff pop up on WWE because he's just over the politics.
Yeah.
He is now just playing smarmy Bischoff. He's like, you think I was a jerk at WCW? Watch this.
Yeah.
Because he's just an absolute pig at WWE. And there's almost weird, gross sexual tension.
Totally.
Oh. Anyway, the next match that kept me in the mood for your selection is the next one. Ric Flair. Comes back, and he's against Chris Jericho, the young upstart. And we see a little package of...
Yeah, I like this. There's a bit where Jericho's doing a faulty performance on Raw. Flair comes running in with a chair or something, and like, knocks it out, and he starts smashing all the guitars and amps and tipping them over.
But well, I love how they've cut it very specifically, because a lot of the stuff he's kicking is kind of bouncing back at him. Like, he nearly, like, hits himself in the head with a mic, like, almost like Lano and Woodley style. And so, there's a few things bouncing around in the wrong direction, but we got the point.
Mm.
And I did like how Jericho's sort of pushing his little Fozzy angle in there.
Yeah.
Because he was going to do a performance, and he still does Fozzy, doesn't he?
Yeah, absolutely, he does, yeah.
That band's been around forever. I would not know
this
one.
This is 16 years ago.
Oh.
You not know one Fozzy song?
Nah.
Neither would just about anybody else.
Really? No?
No.
I mean, does he do Ozzy Osbourne? Why am I asking you? You don't know. We'll look it up. We'll look it up later. But what we do have is a great match, because this is Ric Flair coming back. WCW is now dead. Mm. Everyone thinks Flair's on his last legs. Flair is going to go on for another 8 years after this. Isn't it? Yeah. I mean, but this is sort of the... Because he's had a few grudge matches, I believe, prior, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Against The Undertaker, I believe, at the WrestleMania prior. Potentially against Vince McMahon at the Rumble. I hope I'm right. I think I'm right.
Yeah.
But they're all just bloody altercations.
Yes.
You know, smash and grab affairs.
Yeah, not
this is a wrestling match.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Although there's Jericho definitely tries to take things a bit further. There's one point where he like dismantles the turnbuckle, well, attempts to dismantle the turnbuckle, but the ref pulls him aside. When the ref goes to fix it up, he tears off his wrist tape and starts choking Ric Flair with it.
Mm.
That was nice.
Definitely. But he forgets he's messing with the dirtiest player in the game.
Yeah.
Ric Flair is very good in this match, actually. And is this the match where Flair finds his groove? Almost, so to speak. Because I like everything that happens here. What I really like is when Flair tricks him into thinking that he's tapped.
Yeah.
You see that? When he's grabbed the rope and then he taps and he lets him go? And you go, never seen that before. Because Flair's been around. Mm. He's been around the mill and back. Ending is interesting. You got anything else to say?
No, it was straight to the end.
Ending is very interesting. Of course, I'm not talking about the low blow that the ref doesn't see, or the figure four, but the fact that he won with the figure four. Now, there's a little bit of a backstory here, because what they wanted to happen is definitely for Flair to go over, but for him to have a snatch and grab. So almost, you know how we were talking at our King of the Ring spectacular, available in the archives, people, for all of you to enjoy. But Bret Hart, in every match in that tournament, to become the first, in theory, pay-per-view King of the Ring, is he tricked him. He always grabbed him, caught him off guard. And the guy never looked really that hurt, did he? Like, just, oh, damn it, he got me.
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as ego's concerned, as far as progressing along, as a, you know, regardless if they're a top star or not, he just snuck one on him. And that's sort of what they wanted, but it was actually Jericho that demanded he loses to the move. He goes, no, right. Let me lose to his solidified move.
Yeah.
Because I'm a little smart and I deserve this.
Yeah.
The response he got back was, but no one ever loses to that. And he's like, well, isn't that more reason for me to lose to it? It is a bit weird. Flair never really did win with that patented move that like was so well known. Like, you really, anyone that even slightly knows wrestling knows Ric Flair.
Leg lock. Absolutely.
The only other person I've ever seen Ric Flair win with the figure four leg lock is Randy Savage.
Ah.
Yeah, beat him on a house show for the belt.
Yeah, right.
And of course, this.
There you go. Well, it's good to know. Next time I'm at SummerSlam Trivia Night.
Oh, yeah, right. That'll get cancelled, probably.
Yeah.
But the Trivia Nights just don't work, apparently, in Melbourne, do they? They've got the fans, just not fans with money.
Yeah.
But, this match goes for, what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, 11. I can tell you exactly. Well,
10:22. Yeah. So I was rounding down. Sorry, but
I was rounding up.
Yeah. And so, look, it tells its story, and it just makes
that's good.
It makes you think now. Like, if you saw that match, probably not advertised now, but a couple of years ago, that would be a main event.
Of course, yeah. That Jericho and Ric Flair, like. You've got, you know, the legend Ric Flair, and Jericho is a legend in his own right.
Now he is, absolutely.
And it's always good to watch. I like enjoy watching him around this era because you forget what he was like before. He was short hair, stomach.
Yeah,
Jericho. You know, the old Jericho when he was like, "Ooh, this guy could be the next Shawn Michaels."
Absolutely, and when you think about it, like, because my thought always goes, look, the older dog should always put the young kid over.
Mm.
But in this case, you actually had a strange scenario considering the WCW ending and all that nonsense and Flair losing his smile, so to speak, is that Jericho put over Flair.
Yeah.
He put over Flair by doing this. So I applaud it. Yeah. Speaking of what could be a main event, now or a couple of years ago, look at this match. Floating around match number four, don't include the dark match, match
number three.
Not Nate, match, match number three, Edge and Eddie Guerrero.
Yeah, again, when this one came up, I was like, ooh, I can't even imagine, I couldn't even picture these two wrestling each other in my head before this.
Nah.
Again, great matchup. And Edge comes out to his Rob Zombie theme. At this stage, it's that era where he's coming out to the...
What is that thing?
You'd
have to sing it, but...
I was about to, but I thought of the wrong...
And one, and song. Two, and... yeah.
But yeah, it's like before he went to the...
Down.
To the You Think You Know Me. Mm. Actually, he starts with the You Think You Know Me still, but instead of going into the... That one, it's when he had the Rob Zombie.
I was almost a bit concerned. I thought, have they put this in instead and can't use that music?
No. He was using this for a while, because he added it. WrestleMania around his era as well.
Yeah, right. He's very young here still.
Mm. Yeah, this is sort of...
A bit green still.
Yeah, singles push is happening and he's developing his character as the... Before he's essentially the rated R superstar, but he's on his way to...
Well, he's broken away from the tag picture again, hasn't he? Because Christian... We'll talk about Christian shortly. And Gangrel, God knows where he is. I'm not looking forward to that. But this match was tops.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to say one thing, and then you can say whatever you want to say.
Sure.
But you know what I love when I see Eddie Guerrero wrestle? This is my favourite move, and it's him doing the move, but him taking a move, so to speak, is when he's suplexed out of the ring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the greatest Royal Rumble exit ever.
Yeah.
Where, you know when they're going, you're coming in, you're coming in, no, you're going out! Yeah. And he can actually do it.
Yeah.
And he goes flying out. That every time he does it superbly.
Yeah. I also like when he's up on the apron at one point and gets Edge with like a neck breaker onto the top rope. Cool. Bounces up. That's quite cool.
Yeah, but a bit dangerous looking.
Yes.
Notice it's a tiny bit sloppy. It's all actually due to Edge. And just being green, no criticism whatsoever here. But, there's a few bits where you go, ooh, why didn't that quite work? There's a couple of bits like that. But again, it just makes it look real, so no complaints. But I think Eddie gets tied up, but he's not quite tied up right. It's not the Andre the Giant tied up in the ropes type thing. Thank goodness it's not a video podcast. As I'm trying to act, I look like a ref going, you didn't tie him up like this, you tied him up like this. But yeah, do you have anything else to add before
not really. Just Edge hits, or Eddie kicks out of it, that Edge hits an execution at one point. I'm like, oh, I forgot about that was a move. Like,
yeah, he ditched that.
Execution, yeah.
I know why.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what is it? It's a dodgy DDT.
Yeah, it's definitely
a DDT that requires the other guy to jump up. it's anyway, I'm sure everyone, including Edge, is happy to just put that aside.
Yeah.
Getting a bit bleak looking up, up in the skies above us here, Case. I love it. Every time we do a SummerSlam, it's fucking freezing. I'm drinking.
We should actually do one in summer next
time. I'm like trembling over here. Hang on, let me have some wine. How's it end, Case?
Well, how does any Edge match end? With a spear, of course.
It does.
And the King shouting, "Spear! Spear!"
Hmm.
King JR. Now, I forgot to mention, yeah, we've got JR and the King doing Raw commentary here, but we've also got Michael Cole and Taz doing the SmackDown matches.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I spotted Taz. Yes. Yeah. Great to see them always. Actually, they're not as bad as I remember. And you know what? Let me flip it the other way. The King and JR are not as good as I remember. Like, they're always ballsing up their lines and fumbling over their words. And I'm like, these guys are supposed to be considered the greatest of all. Let's scrap that. Because I used to always say, no, they're the greatest of this era and rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
It's Jesse and Gorilla.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's Jesse and Gorilla.
Yes, yeah, the best ever.
Yeah, and then Gorilla and Bobby.
Yeah, exactly. But how much better are the two-man commentary booths than the three-day ones that we get? Three-man ones we have these days.
Wow.
There's just too many people talking and there's no point. Like, you got all you need is two people to create some conflict. One guy's going for the good guy, one guy's going for the bad guy.
Exactly.
Why do you need a third person?
You don't.
Exactly.
You don't. Why do we need Catherine? She's not here. See? As she shakes her fist from the window.
I think you have to edit that.
No, now she'll be like, I'm coming. She'll be coming. She'll be coming out of retirement now. I'm coming back. That's not her voice, by the way. Doesn't like it when I do that voice. She's like, that's not my voice.
That's not my voice.
But no, she doesn't. But anyway, yes, where's that editing button again? Is it this one? No, it's not that one. But we'll move along as the drizzle.
Yes, it's done.
In shoes. SummerSlam, Case.
Yeah.
So get the zinc out and the flip-flop. Far out. So what have we got next?
We got a little bit of a backstage interview. Coaches having a chat to the Un-Americans.
Yeah.
Which is Lance Storm and Christian and Test.
He's looking a bit goofy up the back there, isn't he? Looking a bit lost almost. Like, why am I here? And we're all thinking the same thing. There you go.
I was going to say they're hyping up the next match, which is, of course, the Un-Americans with Tess versus Booker T and Goldust.
How crap is the Un-Americans? Like, just the promo again, the design, the back to the skip and zip.
We were talking about in the
previous podcast, available in the archives. But it just, where you go, can you think of something better? Can't they just be the Canadians? Like, you know why they were the Un-Americans is because they wanted like a heel faction that was anti-America. But 9/11 had just occurred. And so they were can't really make it any other country. But Canada's a Canadian.
Canada. But their shtick is like, I mean, years earlier, the Rougeaus were doing this shtick heaps better by wanting to be Americans as Frenchies. And they got their little... How much more effective was that than these guys holding up their upside-down American flags?
Oh, yeah. How many T-shirts did they sell?
I'm gonna buy that.
In
America.
I mean, unless you
and the Canadians are too nice to buy them. Mm. So, like, no one would have bought their merch.
Unless you hung it on your washing line upside down. It was just dumb. But anyway, it was weird because I really didn't have any information about this. I just pressed play and thought, let's have a look. Yep. I actually did it this morning, like I told you. And Booker T and Goldust came out together. And I'm like,
they were tag team champs at some point. Actually, we should mention the Un-Americans are the tag team champions at this point.
Hmm.
But yeah, Booker T and Goldust, what a random tag team.
But it was so random it worked.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It actually works. And they kind of, like, even when Goldust was teaming up with R-Truth, you were like, hey, it's a throwback to the old Booker T and Goldust days.
Hmm.
But yeah, shouldn't have worked.
Is that racist writing again?
I guess so.
Put him in a black guy, that works.
Yeah, black guys love homosexuals.
Exactly. Well, that just makes no sense. It makes no sense. But But it did, because Booker T was pretty straight-laced at the time, and it gave him a chance to almost show a bit more character.
Yeah, absolutely.
I always forget, because I can't stand Booker T now, when I see him talk.
And, oh, yeah.
You know when they shoot to, like, different people, like, when they're sitting around, like Renee Young, they're all just sitting around ready to talk, and here's the king, and he gives a wink, and you're like, oh, it's a fucking king, and he's in a t-shirt, and you're like, oh, my God. And they shoot to Booker T, and he's just sitting there with his fist out with the ring, just going, ha, 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 ha. And he's not even... Why is he here?
And then when he does say something, it's always completely at odds at what everyone else has been saying. But like, it's not like he's trying to make an argument. He just got the message completely wrong. He's just totally off on his own little world.
He's just here to get the paycheck.
And when he was on commentary, I was like, oh, he's got to be the worst. But these days, to be honest, with Coach or Barrett's accent, I'm like, I'll just bring back Booker.
Coach is all right.
Nah, Coach is terrible.
He knows what he's talking about. It's just his voice sounds like a Sesame Street character. Doesn't he? Like, I don't know. I think that's... Yeah, okay. Thanks, Coach.
That would be so much better if they had actual Muppets doing commentary these days.
Anyway. and this match is over actually quite short.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's 10 minutes. Pretty much every match so far has been like 10, 11 minutes. And it's kind of good. It keeps the momentum going. There's some good points to this. You've got... Christian and Lance
go Storm
for a concerto at one point.
Oh, and they miss.
Ducks out of it.
Yeah.
I think Goldust takes a bit of a beating and then eventually gets a hot tag.
He does. Booker, he does. A bit of Rock and Roll Express action happening here.
And I like that Booker T sets him up for like a double scissors kick on both un-Americans.
Well, and they just wait there forever. Yeah, I'm like, is someone dropped some money down there? They're both looking at them. Someone's got a laser pointer down there. What are they looking at?
But of course, that leads to a spinneroonie, which wouldn't be a Booker T match without.
Yeah.
And then how does it even end?
It was the longest your shoes are untied I've ever seen. No, how it ends is Test appears out of nowhere with his upside down flag t-shirt. Actually, doesn't he have an upside down flag? But he's not out there with them. He comes out of nowhere. And delivers actually a pretty nasty boot, a la Diesel.
Yep.
Then he bolts off into the crowd as a 6'10" guy does. Weird. And that ends the match.
Yes.
And the un-Americans scoop the win. 9:37, to be precise.
Yeah.
Next match.
Cut to Jamie Noble and Nydia.
Come on now.
Some weird dude to make out with. That's all that about.
I don't even know what this is about.
I think it's the pay-per-view after this SummerSlam, or it's the one before, I can't remember. But they do the same thing. But instead she's like making out with some other wrestler. I can't remember who. And it just goes on for about 15 minutes of Jamie Noble going, come on, get on in there. Wow. What is... any of that about? It's just,
I don't know.
Just gross.
But Jim Ross, like, she's shy, isn't she? Like, you're from Oklahoma. They're all like that down there, aren't they? That's how you say it. That's the Oklahoma hello.
Oh,
yeah, it was a little different.
Yeah.
But Bischoff would have loved that. He isn't he the one that brought in total lesbian action? He would have been slapping his knee. Oh, this is trash.
All right, so Intercontinental title match on that note.
Hello. Hello, hello. And this is the brand's meat, isn't it?
Oh, yes, of course. This is where Steph and Bischoff, watching backstage, have really piqued their interest now, because you've got the Intercontinental champion, Chris Benoit, the Crippler, representing SmackDown.
Yeah.
And being challenged by Rob Van Dam.
Your favourite.
Both these guys.
One of a kind.
But, what I really like about this, though, is just the possibility that the belt can switch brands.
Yeah.
Like,
this is how it should be.
Yeah, don't have billion belts. Just have the one and make it mean something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the big four. Mm. The big four. The Rumble. Yep. These are the only times it can swap.
Yep.
And you know what? If it's lagging, if something needs something, if the other show needs something, you're going, we'll move it over there and move it over there.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's so smart.
Mm.
Don't know why they don't do it now. Now it's like, now there are so many belts that every single match on a pay-per-view is a title match.
Hmm. Which makes nothing important.
Exactly.
And as you were saying, like, just previously about the Extreme Rules that's just occurred recently, and we're 2008, guys, unless you're listening to this, like,
2018, you
mean? 2018, yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry, before, so what did they call them before? The Canadians or whatever. Like, yeah, I want a roll today. What's the dog going for? I dropped a pen. But... I'm falling apart. I've become the scarecrow. Here we go. Okay. But what I was trying to say... Mm. What was I trying to say?
Something about too many titles.
Too many titles is that you get the Extreme Rules scenario where they don't even know which order to put the belts in or how to prioritise them. Exactly. They don't even know what you care about. Like, the IC belt went on last, but you said the very previous match was for a heavyweight belt.
Yeah. It's like, hang on a minute.
How's that work? That doesn't work.
It doesn't. Anyway, this was a simpler time. And, I really liked the concept, despite not particularly liking either of these wrestlers. Although, they're both great wrestlers, don't get me wrong.
Well, that's where it stops and ends. Yeah. Rob Van Dam, he was always a good wrestler. I just wasn't a big fan of his.
Exactly, exactly. And Benoit. Same. And less of a fan of him now. Despite not personally liking either guy, is the added stakes that that title I'll not be able to see on SmackDown anymore. It will now be on Raw or
makes
vice
it important.
Versa. Yeah, exactly. Again, great match because it's two excellent wrestlers.
Yeah.
This one's the first one to go over that sort of 10-11 minute mark. We go. I think it's about 16 minutes or so.
16 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah.
That's why I'm here, Kate.
Yeah.
I'm like that guy, other guy on Pointless. I believe it's 16 minutes and... Oh, no, but I'm talking about the British one, because there's a shit new one. Do you ever watch that show? Anyway. But look, it is. It's a great match. The unfortunate thing is it has Chris Benoit in it.
Yeah, which makes it hard to watch, as always. But...
Even when he walks out, you just go... Yeah.
But, yeah, having said that, it's a top match.
I'd be happy if they just blurred him out completely. Just blurred.
CGI him into Daniel Bryan or something.
just watch it just so there's just this blurry wrestler. Who's that?
It'd be like Robin Williams in Deconstructing Harry, where he's just going out of focus.
I like that movie.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Anyway, at the end... At the end, we get a... Oh, actually, one thing I do want to mention, and the ending is, of course, a frog splash. Oh, I said it right.
It's frog splash.
Yeah, amazing. I got that right, considering what else I've said today. But prior to that, I did quite enjoy, and you'll love this, because you love the Rolling Thunder, but there was a Rolling Thunder turned into and reversed into a crossface.
Yes.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. So, but really, what, you got a WCW guy against a ECW guy.
Mm.
And I'm talking old school.
Yeah.
At the WWE event.
Yeah. Crazy. For an ICW belt.
Nuts. Anyway, should we move on?
Let's move on. Right. And of course, Bischoff is now lording it over Steph that the title is now coming to Raw with RVD.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph doesn't seem particularly concerned. She just lets go an epic cackle and storms out of the room. Thinking that, is something up. And I forgot to look up what happens after this, because I thought, maybe it would be funny if she just got RVD over onto SmackDown, and then Bischoff would be like...
Oh, right.
But I didn't look up to see her.
What I thought they should have done with all these interludes of Stephanie McMahon and Eric Bischoff is every time they shoot, Eric Bischoff's moved a bit closer to it. Just like... Maybe like the second last one, he's got his arm sort of around it, like, oh... Just a thought. And, shall we move on to, not the main event, but something I was looking forward to, just simply because I had no idea it was coming up until I saw it, The Undertaker against Test.
Yeah, so it's the American Badass versus the un-American Badass?
Yeah, yes. Let's go with that. I like it. And so, yeah, the anti-Americans.
This is the shit-taker theme. This is the one that makes Roland look like a good song.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
This is like, what? Why did Taker... ever come out to this? Clearly they've lost the rights to Limp Bizkit by this point or something, but
Big Evil. Well, every time you go, The Undertaker, like, you know, you go, The Undertaker's coming out, and it's not Dong. No. One thing I did laugh, and I don't think I wrote it down, but I did, thankfully it's fresh, is Jim Ross is like, The Undertaker is a street fighter. I'm like, no he's not. Walked around as a zombie for the last 15 years. Oh, well-known street fighter, The Undertaker. Like, what street?
Hey, some of those Undertakers in their mortuaries get pretty heavy rivalries with other human
Some
rivals.
Stiff shots. Sorry.
Stiffs.
So, anyway, you got anything to say?
Taker takes a pretty hard hit into the stairs.
Yes,
he
does. He also takes a pretty hard hit and knackers first into the ropes. When an old school is foiled.
Yes.
taken to school.
Eventually, Storm and Christian come running out to interfere, but they pop a couple of pretty huge choke slams.
Enjoyed a Lance Storm sell. You see how long he was up there? Yeah. And his legs are kicking. You go, oh, there's a horrific choke slam. Are we at 90? No. Well, we're at 96 with the other one. 1996 Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. Vader choke slams Doug Gilbert.
Doug Gilbert?
Yep. You don't know who he is because he's still on the map. They're still scraping him up. He gives him the most vicious choke slam. I don't care who you are. I know it's all scripted. That hurt. But that was sort of a homage to it, so to speak. But not as severe. There's no bouncing head clack at the end. But quite a good sell. Mr. Personality finally does something for the team. But anyway, it's
an alright match, but it suffers from the problem as all those Undertaker versus other big guy matches. They're just kind of boring.
I really need to start smoking cigarettes again because these cigars go out because I keep talking and then I go smoking and I go, oh, for heaven's sake.
But basically this wraps up when Test hits Taker with a big boot, but Taker manages to kick out of it. And his next idea is to hit Taker with a chair, but Undertaker just boots that back into his face and sets him up for the tombstone, and it's all over. The bit I loved about the end of this is Taker goes running into the crowd and grabs an American flag someone.
Yep.
And he comes out and he's like holding it up, like he almost holds it up upside down. But then
he's joined them!
But he is holding it backwards, right. So the camera has to shoot him from behind so it looks alright. Good on you, Taker.
Oh, glory's raised. Yeah. Back the front. Yeah. Oh, well, look, only 8 minutes. We survived.
Yeah.
Now, this next match.
Oh, man. This is the reason I wanted to do this SummerSlam.
Is it? Because there's always a reason, isn't there? Yeah. There's always one match.
Look, there was a theme, which will be relevant in the main event, but the match I wanted to rewatch was this one.
Yep.
This is, of course, the unsanctioned street fight between Triple H and Shawn Michaels.
So, they like that word, unsanctioned.
Yeah, well, WWE wants nothing to do with this match.
Yeah. They dust it off.
They give it half an hour just before their main event. Yeah, all right.
I know. They dust it off every couple of years, don't they? Unsanctioned!
You're unsanctioning it. Don't put it on your freaking pay-per-view.
Yeah, you got to say it like Jim Ross, and that's more fun. Like, unsanctioned!
this is Shawn Michaels' return.
It is. After 5 years?
Finding his smile. Yeah, it's been like 4 or 5 years. And he finally finds his smile, comes back, and gets his smile ran right through the windscreen of a car, basically. He's, of course, been attacked from behind, and the security camera footage is blurred out. They can't quite figure out who did it, and Hunter's like, oh, I'll find out who did it, blah, blah, blah. Spoiler alert, it was Hunter the whole time.
It wasn't Rikishi this time?
No, he was jealous of Michaels coming to take his spotlight, because while he's been gone, Hunter Helmsley's become Triple H.
It's actually a decent story.
Yeah.
And simple.
This feud actually goes for quite some time and has some really good matches as well. I think it's Survivor Series after this. There's an Elimination Chamber. I think it might be the first one.
Yeah, it is.
And
it is. Shawn Michaels wins the friggin' belt.
Mm, that's right.
Or the title, I should say. I don't want to upset anyone at WWE.
Loses it back to Triple H, though. The pay-per-view after, the epic three stages of hell match that they have. Do you remember that one?
Oh, vaguely.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. But this one, sets the tone. It's just a bloody brutal brawl half an hour.
You know, maybe we just like watching Shawn Michaels get beaten up. Because selection was him in a Noel's Bard match getting the snot kicked out of him. And now you've picked him against Triple H. I've written down bins, ladders, stairs, and jeans.
Pretty much.
This one has
that was the one shit thing about Michael's return. Actually, there was two shitty things about Michael's return.
I like
jeans. You're into the jeans.
Well, you know why, though. And see, once you know why, you're going, okay. Yeah. Because firstly, it was a one-shot deal. Shawn Michaels wasn't coming back. Shawn Michaels was not coming back. He put all of these, like, almost precautions in the contract where they went, you look fit, you want to come back. Because he opened his own wrestling school. He trained Daniel Bryan, as we all know. And come back, and he goes, I will do one more match. But he goes, I want to wear the jeans because I don't quite feel like I'm Shawn Michaels. He goes, I don't think I can do all the stuff that Shawn Michaels... He goes, if I can't do it 100%, why am I out there? They want that guy.
Yeah.
So that's why he come out going, no, I'm not that guy. But but as you see, once the nip-up kicks in and all of a sudden he's doing these moves that no one else has done in 10 years, you're like, except for him, I should add. It's like, wait a minute, this is like the greatest ladder match of all time mixed with the greatest no holds barred match. Like, this is fantastic. Yeah. Does it boil down to the fact that there's two guys that trust each other?
I guess so, yeah. They're good mates, so they know, you know, what they can do to each other. And they've obviously spent a long time, you know, a lot of time together because they had their whole DX years and everything like that. And yeah, no, it's great. I mean, you know, Triple H is probably at his peak at this sort of point. And yeah, great to see Michaels back because he clearly hadn't even reached his peak when he retired the first time.
That's it.
And yeah, now we're embarking on that journey. He's the other thing I dislike about this period, Shawn Michaels, though, is that shorter bob hair.
Oh yeah, the monk.
Yeah, no, it's no good.
Oh, what do you do? He cut his hair. What, are you going to wear a wig? You could have cut it shorter.
Yeah, exactly. Short hair, Shawn Michaels. You should do that now that he's bloody bald instead of wearing.
Well, he has cut his hair.
Has he?
He's finally cut it.
Ah,
he's finally cut it.
Wow.
But yeah, the one thing, and Shawn Michaels wins, as we all know. But the one thing I did like about this is the second the match is over, Triple H steals his heat right back. He's like, oh, sledgehammer!
Yeah, and you notice that proper sledgehammer hits instead of holding the end.
Yeah, I know.
It was awesome.
It was awesome, but very difficult to follow.
Yes.
And that brings us
to Howard Finkel's heel turn. Well, Fink is gearing up for his retirement, and it's kind of cool in a way. They're like, oh, let's give Fink a bit of a character and a bit of a run as, you know, doing something outside of just being an announcer.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, what they make him do is pretty awful.
Hey!
Well, that's actually quite relevant, Dora, because what happens is Trish Stratus is out, and Trish Stratus has the puppies.
Right.
And Howard Finkel's got the wiener.
Yeah. The wiener.
Every dog has its day. Mm. But yeah, that's all just a distraction, so Lillian Garcia can come out, sneak up behind the Fink and kick his ass. I had no memory of Lillian Garcia actually getting physical in the ring.
No. And what did she have? The hoofs. Like, what did Liz
got the horse face?
Who was the one that said the joke? Lillian Garcia walks into a bar and the bartender says, why the long face?
Oh, really?
No. Anyway, before I descend into king territory,
let's go to the main event, shall we?
Let's go to the main
event. Undisputed championship match.
Now, this is fun. This is really fun. Yeah. And this is that era where every match you go, do I want to watch this? And you go, oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
A very, very fresh-faced Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
Minus the chest tattoo
that
Catherine pointed.
Minus the shorts. He's got the trunks.
Yeah, he's got the trunks on. Kat's like, oh, he doesn't have that tattoo that looks like a big dick on his chest. I'm like, yeah. No one says that out loud. Everyone just thinks it. Don't tell Brock that. But, and The Rock comes out.
He's got a lot less tattoos as well.
He does. Now, we all know The Rock's leaving. Mm. The Rock's off to Hollywood to make our favourite movie, The Scorpion King. Remember that? Remember the first scene? It was like, whoa, Scorpion King. Yeah, just like, oh, God.
What movie was it? Was it The Mummy 2 or 3 or something where he had the little cameo, but he was mostly just a CGI scorpion?
Yeah.
Was that in the second Mummy? Or was it the third one?
That was the second. No, the second one. The third one's the crap one that doesn't have Rachel Weisz in it.
That's the fourth one, isn't it?
What?
It's the fourth one. Maybe they don't have Rachel Weisz in the last two.
No, she must have been.
Yes, because the fourth one doesn't even have Brendan Fraser. It's only, what's his name? John Hammer.
Oh, who was watched that? The guy from Sliding Doors. Now, what the Monty Python boys say, fuck off. Who cares?
I watched the fourth one.
Did you?
Yeah, I was hoping it would be a return form. It was not.
I didn't watch the fourth. You know, we're talking about the
fourth Mummy. Fourth Pirates of the Caribbean is trash as well.
Scream 4, only good fourth movie. Because Police Academy 4 sucks.
I'll take Rocky 4 over Scream 4.
Lethal Weapon 4? Nah.
Yeah, nah.
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 What else is there?
Mission Impossible 4.
Oh, yeah, alright. That's it. Friday the 13th, part 4. Ah, ah.
No, that was terrible.
Yeah. Fours always suck.
Halloween 4, I like it.
What's that one?
It's, one with the little girl.
Well, it's not the season of the witch, so you can't get much worse
it's
than
a
that.
Massive improvement than that. No, Halloween 4 is good.
You know, all the Halloweens suck except for one.
Nah, 4 and 5 good.
What about the Big Brother one?
That's Hellraiser. No. Oh no, it's also Halloween.
Yeah,
Hellraiser, that's it. Hellraiser 4 is pretty shit. So compared to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are distracted big time.
Let's the get Land back to Before Time 4. Rubbish. Home Alone 4. Fuck that.
Honey, I Shrunk the Kids 4.
Really?
I'm just guessing. Brock versus Rock. One.
Yes. Is that what we're talking about? Yes.
The first time these guys are facing.
Well, this is the only time they face.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it is, of course, for the title, which Rock has got.
Where did we go then?
I don't know. Let's edit that out.
Yeah.
But yeah, Brock is the next big thing at this point.
Yes.
And he's coming in. Because, yeah, that's right. Rock was leaving to go make some fucking movie.
The Scorpion King. Not,
which is technically The Mummy Part 4.
Right.
Or 3. Anyway. Three.
It's the third Mummy film of the franchise, but it isn't The Mummy. It's The Scorpion King.
Did they ever make a Scorpion King 2?
Yeah, I think so, but not with him. Anyway, moving on. And the Rock hasn't even made a move yet.
I'm going to go home and watch Scorpion King. Anyway, yeah. I don't have a lot to say about this match. In fact, I forgot to write any notes for it.
I've got one sentence.
Yeah.
Double nip up.
Yes. Yeah, that was very cool.
They're fighting away, having a tussle, and then when they both nip up, you go, ah! And no, I've seen it before. I've seen it 100 times before, but it's always little guys.
Yeah, exactly.
And so watching two blokes around 6'7" do it, you go, okay. Mind you, the Rock's is way better.
Yeah.
I noticed that. But the crowd want Lesnar to win.
Yeah.
And that's one thing. And we'll just go there. They give it to you.
Yeah.
And the other thing I did enjoy about it is as The Rock progresses and as the crowd are going, screw you, Rock, go and make your crappy Scorpion King.
Oh, man, the
Rock
crowd
turns around and goes, you know what, stuff you bastards.
Yes.
And he's really giving, The Rock legit turns heel before he is defeated by
him. Well, he's getting all the Rocky Sucks chance the second he comes out anyway. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's awesome that he does take that initiative and just go, yeah, fuck it, I'm going to play up to it.
But do you think, because he faced Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania this year, that he went, I should have done? I should have laid it in more.
Yeah, yeah.
And so when this opportunity arose, he went, not falling for it again. If they shit on me, I'm going to shit back. He gives him the finger in one point.
Yeah.
And he's coming out trying to be a good guy at the start. I loved it. And he come back as a villain the following year against Goldberg, I believe.
All right.
Brock Lesnar, our new champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's unfortunately not the case these days, guys.
Yes, well, he has just lost his championship at the last SummerSlam. That was my tie-in for why choosing this pay-per-view, because it's a timely. We perhaps are seeing the end of Brock Lesnar in the WWE for a little while as he goes back to UFC.
Yep.
And this was when he first became a champion, so I thought it was relevant. But yeah, on that note, I ain't got much else to say. While I'm eating my chips here, have you thought about what you want to do for our next?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Casey, because look what I've got in my little sack. It's not a snake.
This is a VHS?
Yes. Because, see, what I was going to do is originally, because you picked a SummerSlam, and they say this is the great. What is the commotion in there? So many chips in there. But with the SummerSlam selection and the internet's just high on this one. They reckon it's the greatest ever. I'm like, really? What's your greatest SummerSlam? 1990. Interesting. Mine's 1989. So we're both old school guys with our SummerSlams.
I like 2000 better than 2002.
Well, I was going to pick 89. Mm. And I will one day. But then I remembered that you picked Bash at the Beach. So I thought it's time for a bit of revenge of my own.
Oh, no!
So my next selection is going to be this.
Starrcade Battle Bowl, The Lethal Lottery. What is this trash?
91.
Lex Luger, The Steiners, Ron Simmons, Arn Anderson, Sting, El Gigante, Rick Rude, Barry Windham, and more stars of WCW. Look at El Gigante, he's cross-eyed.
And more. So let me tighten the tape. Because, and that's a VHS. Do you remember the old days where you used to, like, you'd pick up the cover and they'd get the number and pull the tape out the back and pop it in for you.
That's right. And then you'd get home and go, no one rewinded this.
That's it. Or they put the wrong tape in there. Yeah. My dad once got a porno instead of like a war movie.
Sure. Everyone knows. Get the war movie. I'll have the war movie.
The one with the big guns.
Yeah, right, Dad. Good on you. I'm here for a tank.
A what?
But anyway, before this descends into absolute rubble, folks, we'll be back next time. What are we called?
Saving Ryan's Privates.
We'll be back. WCW, I put it away. I've got to get back up.
The Lethal Lottery.
The Lethal Lottery.
Let's do it.
Starcade Battle Bowl.
I can't wait.
See you then, Case.
See ya.